Hello there, this is the Library Talker, also known as the Library Lady. I'm Library Talker on Blogspot at librarytalker.blogspot.com, and I'm Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is hosted. So today I am reviewing a book I just literally finished like less than an hour ago, Dirty Lying Fairies by Sabrina Blackbury. And so this is obviously going to be paranormal, because there's fairies involved. And we start off with human being Thea, being goaded into or conned or forced to, I don't know, her best friend, has said, "You've got to come with me to this party. It's going to be great." And they go to a party that they would never normally be invited to. Super exclusive. Turns out, the bestie's boss gave her, had two tickets and gave them both to her, and so she's dragging Thea along. And while she's there at this kind of museum-ish gala thing, she meets this tall, handsome guy named Devin and bumbles her way through kind of somewhat flirting, and he shows her things and takes her into a part of the gallery with pictures and paintings by a guy who many consider to be a madman because he thought he saw fairies. And Devin, they have fed her, and he has kissed her on the hand and been very flirty. And after the party is over, she starts going, "Wait, what the heck is going on?" Because she starts seeing things and doesn't understand why she's seeing things. And like, maybe it was just too much wine or, you know, something at the party, or those paintings just influenced her and now she's seeing things that don't actually belong, and oh my gosh. It turns out that Devin made a mistake. He wasn't supposed to do what he did. Apparently, the fairies have come up with a system of once a year they will find an adult human. They will do their research on the adult human to see whether or not they have family, friends, anybody who will miss them if they disappear, that kind of stuff. And once they've done their research and figured out if that human has just enough of the touch, they go ahead and turn that human into a changeling fairy. And so it turns out that Thea's friend was the target, and but she had enough of something that Devin thought she was the target. He didn't bother getting her name correct, didn't bother verifying that he got the right one before he started the change. So now she's turning into a human changeling, even though she does have family and she does have friends, and oops. So that starts off a thing. So once a year they pick one person in order to keep the courts balanced. The belief is that the Fae cannot and can no longer have children, and so they selectively pick adult humans, not children, because, you know, they want to be kind and but they want to choose people whose lives will be improved by being in a court, and it's one of the seasons, of course. So Devin happens to be the Lord of Winter Court, and he accidentally chooses Thea and starts off her process. And so Thea becomes a fae without really wanting to, having it explained to her or anything else like that. Along the way, she also has her friend is now, oops, they've got to correct that, and now her friend is, so that's two fae, and that's and that fae is joining the summer court, complete opposites in terms of personality, preferences, that kind of stuff. And we also meet some others, including Heather and Alan and Arthur, and just these modge podge of characters. And we learn a little bit of the history, and we learn some things about it. And while I find it really, you know, there's some interesting, you know, moments to it, it's just that it's kind of moments. And some of the moments are strung together nicely, and some of them have big, huge gaps in them. And so there's, between them at least. I feel like this is a start of a series, even though it didn't really necessarily need a second or third book. This one ends with a, we've solved this issue, ta-da! But we still have a mystery or two. So, so it's possibly going to be more books. I think the other thing is that while the cover is awesome, and the font is fantastic, the name of the book, Dirty Lying Fairies, doesn't really fit. It just doesn't fit in this context. It's not like she ever gets really ticked off about it. She does have a few moments of, oh, my life is going to be so much different. But there's never an, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, how could you do this to me type of thing. It's just kind of an instant acceptance. So Dirty Lying Fairies sounds like she used to deal with dirty lying fairies, all those dirty lying fairies, and they're so, you know. It's just not. So I'm not sure why it's named this. It just messes with the whole vibe. So if you're thinking this is going to be one kind of book, based on the title would suggest a certain vibe. And then you get in here and, like, it's not. It's just kind of disconcerting, I guess, or odd that the title doesn't really fit the rest of the book. Again, it finishes, but it leaves some things unfinished. So the question then is, is the next book going to be Devin and Thea and they're discovering and how to solve the other mysteries, or are we going to go on to one of the other courts? Because this is Winter Court and, you know, you've got your HEA, blah, 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 with this little mystery left in the background, but we still have to solve the summer, autumn and spring court, whatever. So what might be going on? So maybe there's four books, one for each pair of whatevers that are going to happen. I don't know. So while, again, it has its moments, this seems to be coming up a lot recently, at least in books. Maybe I'm just a bad chooser of books recently. I don't know. But I'm finding a lot of these where there's some good ideas, some good moments, but the follow-through is lacking. Again, cover is amazing. The font is fantastic. Some of the characters are great. Some of the ideas are wonderful. I like some of the images and some of the thoughts. But again, the title doesn't match the book. And then the book itself is a little disjointed. So, it's just, Thea just kind of accepts it very quickly. There's not a lot of pushback, even when it turns out that she's the bonded, mated person to Devin. And she's like, oh no, I need to take my time. I need this. This is really fast. It's like just a few pages later. Okay, I accept it. Fine, whatever. And it's like, wait, what? Every once in a while, the author went, oh no, I've got a timetable here. I've checked her watch and was like, I'm running. I've got to get this chapter. I've got to get to this next event. And so I can't really prolong this thing. And it's like 360 pages as I'm now opening it up to check. It is, 366 pages for the story. And so even with that, it doesn't feel like there's enough there, like it's missing something, you know? So it's got 366 pages. There is a story there, but there are so many cutaways and there are so many unfulfilled kind of promises, I guess. Like, here is something that's going to happen. Oh, it's solved. Oh, look, here's another thing. And then we're going to, oh, no, that's resolved too. And here's a thing over, we'll just forget we even had that in there. You know, that's kind of how this story goes. Characters have some great points to them. The alternating viewpoints between Thea and Devin are not exactly evenly distributed, but it's nice to see kind of both points of view. but we still have things that are not solved. We still don't understand this relationship between this pair over here. Why are they doing what they're doing? We don't understand where this fourth person or fae or whatever is supposed to be that's part of this mythical whatever. And what does that mean for all of the fae when the fourth one shows up? So it is incomplete, but I don't know that I'll necessarily be running to it. I mean, if it pops up and I see the description, I might go, but I don't even know if I'll remember this one to know what I'm getting into when I get into that one. I may have to come back and reread this one. That's kind of where I am. And sometimes I like to reread it because I love the author's voice and I want to feel that again and try and recapture some of that before I go on to the next book, you know, and make sure I understand everything. If I have to do that with this one, it'll be because I forgot it. And you know, I'm already kind of like, wait, who was which? And then there was that. No. And I just finished it like an hour ago. So that tells me that while it has its moments and it was a good cotton candy book and it got me through a couple of days and, because I kept putting it down, it got me through and I had some entertainment from it. It's not like gonna stick in my head forever type of thing. So, and my rating system, one is avoid police line, do not cross. You're going to want your money back for the time that you wasted on this. Five being, oh my gosh, this is the most amazing book ever. Two being, Three being, and four being, this is an, I had moments where I was like, and other moments I was like, So I'm going to go split it down the middle and give it an, this is a 3 out of 5 for me. So again, it has its moments, but it's not enough. And once again, I know I've said it a couple of times already, but the name of the book does not match the content. It just doesn't. She's, the main character, Thea, is just way too accepting. She just takes it on faith and she keeps moving forward and there's no, oh, how dare you, you dirty lying fairies, There's no moment like that, so it just doesn't fit. So it needs renaming. Again, the cover is amazing though. So again, this is Dirty Lying Fairies by Sabrina Blackbury. I'm giving it 3 out of 5. So read it if you're interested, but don't if you're not. And again, if you have questions, comments, ideas, books that I should try, that kind of stuff, please let me know. And you can reach me through my blog at librarytalker.blogspot.com, or you can comment on podomatic.com where this is hosted under the Library Lady. So feel free to message me, and I hope you guys have a really great day.